Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truth and sometimes the myths of the people and events that helped create the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and as I still to this day say, I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years now, and we're happy to share those with you today here on Radio St. Pete. So the other day, I was half watching an episode of CBS Sunday Morning, an absolute staple in my house. As I partially listened, but mostly scrolled Facebook, the voice on the television started sharing the story of how the bird feather business was huge in America and Europe in the late 1800s, but especially in Florida. Because of the hundreds of thousands of birds and hundreds of species that made their way south, the feather frenzy hit the Sunshine State hard. Elaborate hats were decorated with large numbers of bird feathers and even whole birds, which were seen as the height of fashion. The fad led to a massive and destructive plume hunting industry that nearly wiped out several bird species, spurring conservation movements and eventually leading to laws that restricted the feather trade. So as I listened to this story, and then of course my ears perked up as soon as the word Florida was mentioned, this story took me directly to St. Petersburg and the life of a Catherine Bell Tippetts. Very well educated, rare for a woman in the 1800s, Catherine had broad literary training and was proficient in five languages when she arrived in St. Petersburg in the hope that her husband's failing health would be restored by the climate of the Sunshine City. But our magical climate failed William Tippetts. After his death, though, Catherine took charge of his affairs and became owner of the Belmont Hotel on Central Avenue and 6th Street. Now, while managing her multiple businesses, which included land development, making her an anomaly in a male-dominated business at that time, she raised four children. Two sons graduated from Princeton, another Harvard Law School, and her daughter from the Women's College of Tallahassee, which, of course, is now Florida State. But Catherine was also a published author, but penned novels under the name Jerome Cable, since it was nearly impossible for a woman to get published at the turn of the 20th century. But after witnessing the carnage and near extinction of Florida species of birds, specifically just for fashion, Catherine decided it was time to stop this practice. She founded the St. Petersburg Audubon Society in 1909, and served as its president for 33 years. But Catherine's passion for conservation didn't stop in St. Petersburg. By the 1920s, she was known nationwide. Catherine eventually served as president of the Florida Audubon Society, vice president of the American Forestry Association, a trustee of both the National Park Association and the National Campfire Girls, and chairperson of the General Federation of the Women's Club Committee on Nature Study and Wildlife Refuge. If that wasn't enough, she then turned her attention to Tallahassee and on to Washington. Catherine fought for state and national legislation to create bird sanctuaries and additional animal protection laws. It was largely due to her efforts, actually, that Florida now has a state bird, the mockingbird. And she pushed the governor and state legislature to create the Florida Fish and Game Commission. She was just getting started with the suits that worked in the Capitol buildings in both Florida and Washington. It was only fitting that Catherine Tippetts supported the women's suffrage movement, fighting for the right of women to vote. Suffragists used the porch and lobby of Tippetts Belmont Hotel as a meeting place, as well as the starting point for a march for equality. On March 4th, 1919, hundreds of suffragists gathered at 6th Street and Central Avenue and marched down Central Avenue in support of voting equality as part of the Kermes Parade. Well, their efforts definitely worked. By the time the 19th Amendment went into effect in 1920, making it legal for women to vote throughout the nation, women in St. Petersburg had already won the right to vote by public referendum, and had voted in municipal elections. In 1922, Catherine ran for the state legislature, becoming only the second woman in the history of Florida to do so at that time. She lost, but she continued to make her mark on politics. She was also crucial in raising funds during World War I, serving as chair of the War Savings Stamp Campaign. She worked for the St. Pete Chamber of Commerce and served on a number of hospital and park boards. A true pioneer of St. Petersburg, Catherine continued to work and fight to make the Sunshine City a better place to live and visit until her death in 1950. You can learn more about Catherine Tippetts as well as other amazing women of St. Petersburg in our exhibit called Meddling, the Women Who Built St. Petersburg. So I want to thank everyone so much for joining me today on Historically St. Pete. And remember to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the St. Pete Pier, where you can explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. Don't forget to bring your holiday guests when they're visiting in the upcoming months. The museum is open 7 days a week. We will only be closed on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving. You can visit historystpete.org for more details on our exhibits and events, as well as our fantastic historic trolley, Segway, and boat tours. Thank you for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.